You're listening to Global Conversations.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Global Conversations podcast. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can follow us on Twitter at @g_conversations and on Instagram at @monkgc. You can also check out our website at www.monkgc.com, where you can find loads of great content created by students at the University of Toronto's Monk School of Global Affairs and Public Policy. So today, my name is Paige Smith, and I'm an MGA1 at the Monk School, and I'm joined by my fellow colleague, Larissa Chan.
So hi there, I'm Larissa, and today we're going to be doing a podcast on private sector engagement, and today we are joined with Asama. It would be great if you could introduce yourself and just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much, Larissa and Paige, for having me on today. I'm really excited to chat with you about private sector engagement. My name is Sama, and I'm a second year Master of Global Affairs student at the Monk School of Global Affairs and Public Policy. I have had a bit of experience working with private sector engagement, both with my internship with UNICEF South Asia and also currently with my capstone project, where I'm working with Global Affairs Canada to develop solutions or recommendations for private sector engagement in closing the financing gap for the Sustainable Development Goals, both of which I'll talk more about later. But in addition to that, I have a range of research interests from child rights to human migration, and gender equality as well. So really excited to chat with you guys, and thank you for having me again.
Awesome. Thank you so much for introducing yourself. And now we're going to jump into some background and also the agenda for this podcast.
So the topic for today is the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, often referred to as the SDGs. For a bit of background, in September of 2015, the UN introduced an agenda with 17 sustainable development goals and 169 targets. It called for countries worldwide to take action to save our deteriorating planet. Although there are many unique actors that play a role in the creation and implementation of the SDGs, the private sector plays one of the foundational roles in the success of this agenda. Because this sector serves as the stakeholder that can enable SDG implementation processes.
So today we are going to dive into some topics surrounding the role of multilateral organizations and the government in engaging with the private sector to promote the SDGs, as well as creating sustainable business practices. We will touch upon how actors can involve the private sector in relation to SDGs and the responsibility of businesses to contribute to these goals. We're going to end this podcast by highlighting some of the challenges of cross-sector collaboration in implementing the agenda's goals, but also some positive changes that we are beginning to see in business behavior. So with that being said, we'll jump into our first question. And so, Sama, it would be great if you could talk about some of your work at UNICEF and how UNICEF engages with the private sector in their work.
Yeah, definitely. So I worked with UNICEF South Asia for a bit under 6 months, and I was specifically working with the Business for Results team, which was a brand new unit to UNICEF South Asia. And overall, with UNICEF globally, it's been around for a bit more than 2 years. And so the aim of the Business for Results, or B4R team at UNICEF, is to systemically apply a business lens in pursuit of UNICEF mandate, which is to leave no child behind. And specifically what this would look like is mainstreaming private sector engagement into UNICEF's strategy and its operations, and with a particular emphasis on using a business lens in UNICEF programming. And just as one statistic that I learned in my internship that really stuck with me about like trying to conceptualize the involvement of the private sector, is that currently UNICEF spends about 80% of its time speaking with government. And in the future, UNICEF aims to spend 50% of its time speaking with government or working with government, and 50% of its time working with business. So obviously you can see that UNICEF is looking to shift the prominence and prevalence of government entities in impacting its work and increase the role of business in its work. So basically, I joined UNICEF 1 month into the global pandemic, which was obviously a very, very interesting time to be working with a large multilateral organization. And I was working at the regional level. So we were overseeing work across 8 countries in the region. And because I joined at this time, so in April 2020, the majority of our work was focused on the business response to COVID-19. At that stage, UNICEF was in the response phase of its COVID recovery plan. And the next stage would have been or is the recovery phase. So at first, a lot of the business response was mostly focused on how they could leverage their assets to directly respond to the challenges posed by the pandemic. But our job was to work strategically and push businesses to focus on a longer term response and also thinking more about the recovery aspect and thinking about how the pandemic would impact their societies and then more specifically the rights of children and their families.
Awesome. And I think in terms of how people think of the private sector, I think a lot of people associate businesses in the private sector with like financial funding or aid. But I think there are a lot of like other ways the private sector can be leveraged and can contribute to positive outcomes for children's rights, human rights, the SDGs, and so on and so forth. Do you mind highlighting a couple of ways that the private sector can be leveraged in non-financial ways?
Yeah, definitely. So there's a lot to say about this. And before going specifically into that, I think a good way to frame this question in general is there's a framework that's used by the Business for Results Unit at UNICEF that highlights 5 focus areas. So different roles that businesses can take to engage with children's rights and to support the goals of the SDG in general. So these 5 areas would be business as a provider of goods and services, business as employers, business's impact on communities and the environment, business as a source of technology, innovation, and financing, and finally, the voice and influence of business. So I think that a lot of those categories are pretty self-explanatory, but I can provide a few examples to just contextualize them a bit better. So if we're thinking about business as an employer, for an example, one big area of focus that we had during my time at UNICEF was family-friendly workplace policies. So business as an employer needs to consider the needs of their employees, and in this case, a lot, particularly parents with children. And then in the context of the pandemic, how was the workplace changing and evolving, and how is that impacting their employees? So for example, were people being forced to work from home in multi-generational households that where they didn't have the capacities or the facilities to do so? Maybe they didn't have the technology or the internet connection. Maybe they had young children at home who were out of school without access to any online education. And what the kinds of family-friendly work policies that we were advocating for and working with businesses to implement include things like flexible work arrangements for employees with like flexible hours, paid leave options, childcare options for when they were back in person, as well as things like mental health services. So in this way, you can see that it's a lot more than just the financial capacities that businesses have, but actually how they structure their workplace to ensure that they're advocating for children or allowing for children to have the rights that they deserve.
Thank you so much. I know I just learned quite a bit, even just from that answer. Yeah, I can really see, because I think kind of before diving into this topic, I really saw a lot of roles in the private sector as exclusively funding. Thank you so much for that great answer. And diving into the next question, I understand that there exists a tension within sustainable development goals, that is whether or not to focus on exclusively environment conservation of living and non-living resources, or whether or not the focus should be on enhancing economic growth and development. So with that tension in mind, in your opinion, what are the majority of private sector firms focusing on? Do you believe that there's an optimal balance between the two? Or I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, that's a great question. I wouldn't say that I'm an expert on what all private sector firms are doing by any means, but from my limited experience, I think that the majority of private sector firms are very much focused on economic growth and development. Ultimately, something that I've come across a lot, or something that always comes up in discussion, is the fact that private sector firms ultimately have self-serving intentions, which is profitability, right? And so even though there is a shift where we first saw the rise of corporate social responsibility policies that were being implemented in business models, that was a start to getting to kind of holding businesses responsible. However, with the corporate social responsibility model, this is focused a lot more on financing and providing funding, which goes back to the financial support from private sector. And there's little support focus on sustainability when it came to corporate social responsibility. But now we're seeing more changes being made, and something that I came across a bit with my time in UNICEF and just in general in my work is environmental, social, and governance criteria or strategies, otherwise known as ESG. And so basically with ESG, for those who don't know, they are a set of criteria that are being used by businesses to screen potential investments. And they take into consideration things like, how does the company impact the environment through its supply chains? How does it manage its relationships across its supply chains? And also, how is its governance structured to allow for more sustainability, more diversity, more inclusion? However, there are still a lot of barriers that businesses face with regards to ESG. There's a huge lack of standardization in ESG reporting, especially because it's such a new area. And like we saw earlier with the non-financial and financial role of the private sector, there's also a divide between financial and non-financial ESG, where many companies were already used to the whole corporate social responsibility framework. And so even with this shift to the more sustainable thinking and like trying much more to integrate the sustainable development goals into the ESG work that firms do, it's very much of the mindset that, oh, like I can give money to environmental causes, or I can pay to offset my carbon footprint, and that'll have like the impact that I need to have, or that my firm needs to have to be a more responsible, globally responsible firm. But there's a lot more to that, right? And we saw that a lot at UNICEF through responsible supply chains, for example, and making sure that at each level or each stage of the supply chain, there are responsible practices, for example, that there's no child labor, or that people are being paid living wages. And with the context of South Asia in particular, it's really interesting because the majority of industry in South Asia is with the informal sector. And generally with these ESG and CSR policies, there's a big focus on big multinational companies, but in South Asia, we have to also take into consideration the role of the informal sector and how ultimately, especially in that region, every single formal industry is connected to the informal sector. So I guess those are some of the barriers, but in general, I've also seen a lot of really positive studies that show positive correlations between ESG performance and stock price, operational achievements. And I've even seen a statistic that suggests that if we achieve the sustainable development goals, we will open up market opportunities globally worth $12 trillion. So that's kind of a huge point for advocating for companies to take on an even greater role in achieving environmental and sustainable, the sustainable development goals, basically. So in terms of your last question, you said, is there an optimal balance between the two? And my perspective is, it's very hard to say, like, what is an optimal balance? Optimal for who, right? Are we talking about the shareholders? Are we talking about the CEOs? Are we talking about those working in the informal sector? Yeah, it's just very hard to say.
Thank you so much. I think your last stat there, the $12 trillion, is pretty outstanding. It just really shows like how much opportunity there is with doing better, right? So that kind of, you've kind of alluded to it in a bit of your answer so far, but my next question for you is, how can the government and multilateral organizations leverage the private sector to overcome the financing gap for the SDGs?
Yeah, that's really relevant. And I think moving away from my experiences with UNICEF to think more about the role of the government, which is what I'm currently engaging in a lot of my research as part of my master's capstone seminar. So as I mentioned, we're currently working with Global Affairs Canada's Partnerships for Development Innovation Branch, working specifically with the Climate Finance Partnerships Task Team. And I know that's a big mouthful, but basically what we're trying to do is develop recommendations for donors who are wishing to engage private sector partners in supporting gender responsible climate adaptation programming in sub-Saharan Africa. Again, a huge mouthful, but basically we're looking at how can the government engage the private sector and leverage the huge amounts of capital that exists in the private sector to overcome what is a $2.5 trillion financing gap that currently exists based on current projections to achieve the sustainable development goals. And then my project is specifically focused on climate adaptation. So obviously, while my internship experience with UNICEF was focused very much on non-financial mechanisms to leverage the private sector, this is a bit of a shift because it's focused on leveraging private sector funds to close the current financing gap. However, that's not just like trying to raise capital and increase fundraising from the private sector. What that might look like, and one of our areas that we're exploring right now, is blended finance models, which basically use capital from public or philanthropic sources to increase private sector investment in sustainable development. And this allows organizations with different objectives to invest together while achieving their own objectives, be it financial return or social impact or a blend of both. So it kind of goes back to the whole thing about who optimal for who. And in this case, we're trying to find a model where the private sector is still happy and they're still achieving their goals. But at the same time, we're also making progress to close that financing gap. But there are pretty big challenges with this model. Generally, there's a high perceived risk from the private sector in investing in these opportunities and these initiatives specifically focused on sustainability or the environment. And also for the private sector, there's often poor returns in comparison with other investment opportunities. So it can be a pretty hard sell. And then another challenge that I've come across so far in my work with the government is keeping in mind that when the government is working with the private sector, the government can't be financing private sector companies to boost their profits, because ultimately we're using taxpayer money. And I mean, if I heard that my hard-earned money was going to this international corporation's profits or to boost their bottom line, I wouldn't be too pleased with that. So there is a really fine line in terms of what the government can do. But I think that the whole notion of the private sector is just, it's becoming more and more topical, and governments are really working to see how they can work with multilateral organizations and the private sector together to hopefully reduce the financing gap that currently exists.
Great, thank you so much. And I think you highlighted really well like the importance of the private sector for reaching the sustainable development goals. But I'm also wondering if at the same time that governments are leveraging businesses, that they also need to regulate them and their behaviors as well in order to reach these goals. So I would love to ask you now how governments play a role in setting standards or more sustainable or encouraging more sustainable practices for businesses. And to achieve the SDGs, do we need national governments to integrate these goals into national regulations?
Yeah, regulation is pretty interesting. I mean, I don't think that there's a lot of regulation yet, because it's all like quite new. And I feel like there are a lot of competing priorities for governments. But one example that, or there's two examples that come to mind in terms of setting standards for business or setting standards that influence ultimately achieving these, the SDGs. First is that India was actually the first country to legally mandate corporate social responsibility in 2014. And so in India, businesses that have a certain profitability are mandated to spend 2% of their average net profit from the past 3 years on CSR. And so that, when I came across that a few years ago in my work, I found that to be a really, really interesting kind of regulation that was put in place by a government of a massive country. And I haven't looked that much into the outcomes of this regulation, but it was a very unique opportunity. But again, in that case, we're seeing mostly that the government is mostly leveraging the financial, just like funds from the private sector. So I have questions about whether this is a sustainable policy to have long term and whether this will in fact have an impact on reducing the financing gap. And then the other like kind of government regulation that came to mind in terms of this question and what we're talking about in our conversation all together is Canada's feminist international assistance policy. So I don't know if you guys are familiar with the policy, but basically any development efforts that Canada engages in, including leveraging private sector resources, must fall under the Feminist International Assistance Policy's guidelines. So for example, if Canada was to engage in humanitarian action in a crisis or conflict zone, this would have to be gender responsive humanitarian action, which accounts for the burden of care that's faced by women and girls, for example. So it's obviously not as direct of a policy or regulation as the one that I mentioned in India earlier, but indirectly, this feminist international assistance policy does impact all of the development work that Canada does. And as the Canadian government is looking to leverage the private sector more and build these partnerships with the private sector, that means that the private sector will have to ensure that it is meeting these feminist policies if it does in fact participate in participate in the development objectives in partnership with the Canadian government.
Thank you so much. That's very interesting. I'm new to this topic, and I feel like the more I listen to a lot of Canada's engagement with these policies and kind of like what the opportunity is for them to start regulating more, and especially inclusion of feminist perspectives and bringing in regulation in that sense. I feel very optimistic. And I guess it kind of brings me to a bigger picture question, which is one of the last questions, but Larissa has the last question after this one. So diving into the question, reaching the SDGs requires intense collaboration among all sectors of society. What do you believe is the biggest challenge to this collaboration? I know that's a very big question, but I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, so collaboration is obviously a huge challenge in achieving the SDGs. And like just from looking at the financing gap, we can see that the goals set out in the SDGs that we've set for the global community are huge, and it's basically impossible for one sector to achieve these goals on their own. So evidently this is impossible without collaboration. As I mentioned before, I think there are a few challenges that at least come to my mind. I think the challenges are actually countless, but a couple of challenges that stand out to me. First, there's the issue of competing priorities, as we talked about earlier, especially when you're working across different sectors. You're thinking about who are these organizations accountable to, be it, is it their government, is it taxpayers, is it shareholders, and how are they going to ensure that these people are satisfied or are supportive of these endeavors. And then also there's the short-term versus long-term lens, where some entities are in a better position to be really aiming and thinking about the long-term implications of the work that they do and implementing strategies that'll have a positive impact in the long-term, even if it means putting in additional capital in the short term or taking more risks in the short term, whereas other people may be in a more dire situation where it's not even an option for them to engage in such policies or to make such changes, for example, in the private sector to their business practices. Also, another really important thing to think about or to note is that climate change is affecting the world at completely different paces and in completely different ways. So for some regions of the world, like South Asia, where we're seeing a lot of impacts in the weather systems, for example, from climate change, there might be more of an urgency to address these issues, whereas other regions might not have that same urgency. Another challenge that I was thinking about is a lack of partnerships. So there aren't systems globally in place to systematically develop partnerships at the level that's needed to achieve the SDGs. And a lot of times with large multinational, multilateral organizations, there ends up being a lot of bureaucracy that slows down a lot of the processes that are really integral to achieving these goals. And so, again, it's a huge ask. I definitely don't have a solution to this, but a lack of the right kind of partnerships is a huge challenge. Then another thing to highlight is data collection and data sharing. There's absolutely, in all areas of international development, a lack of open and timely data available. And without the appropriate data, it's much harder to standardize processes and initiatives. It's much more difficult to put the right funding in the right places, because if we don't even have a clear understanding of what the issues are globally, how can we address them? So these are definitely huge issues. And as we're seeing a rise in nationalism and total amounts of ODA and foreign direct investment decreasing, there are a huge number of concerns. But I think that from the work that I'm that I had the privilege of doing with UNICEF, seeing how we're really trying to move away from just financial contributions from the private sector, and then also seeing the government of Canada actively working to build new partnerships and really push the boundaries of what they've done in the past and like the traditional development work that they've done. I think there is optimism. Yeah.
Thank you. That's such a great transition into our final question for the podcast. And we left this question for the last one to maybe end on a more positive note. Because there is change that is happening. There are positive outcomes that are coming from partnerships from the private sector and collaboration. So what is the biggest hope that you see right now, or some of the positive changes that are being made towards business behavior and partnerships?
Yeah, for this question, I wanted to turn towards the global pandemic. And just address the innovation and collaboration that we've seen over the past year in the global pandemic, in spite of a wave of nationalism and far-right political figures influencing global politics. We've seen initiatives like the COVAX Alliance that are pushing for equity and equality internationally. And these alliances and these partnerships like COVAX are bringing together a multitude of different stakeholders globally. And we actually just saw the first shipment of COVAX funded vaccines arrive in Ghana, I think yesterday. So that's 1 year after this pandemic, or a bit more than 1 year after the beginning of this pandemic. So I think that although of course everyone has many, many criticisms about the way that the pandemic has been handled nationally, internationally, the levels of inequalities that are being highlighted as a result of everything that's happened, I think that if we really think about the progress that has been made, all the vaccines that have been developed, all the resources that have been mobilized, the data that's been collected, it is kind of a sign that if the global community comes together, we can have a huge impact at a really, really rapid pace. And so I hope that the global community can learn from how we've addressed this pandemic and this crisis to really think about how to best address the challenge of reaching the SDGs by 2030. And hopefully through partnerships, new partnerships that have been formed as a result of the pandemic, as well as pre-existing partnerships, we can really have an impact on closing the financing gap and ensuring a more sustainable future for everyone.
Thank you so much. And it's evident that there are still so many steps that need to be taken in order to fully implement and fulfill the SDGs. But also it's great to acknowledge that so many great strides and so much progress has been made in this field. So Salma, I just want to say thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. It was really wonderful and a pleasure for us to hear about your experiences and your thoughts on private sector engagement and the role of business in reaching the SDGs. So thank you again.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me. It was really fun.